When I read the today's verse, read Isaiah 26:3, I looked at several translations. And I saw the stark difference between among these translations, and three of them particularly stand out. They are King James and New American Standard and New International Version. And they all say this: God will keep in perfect peace those who trust in Him. The other translations say, God will keep in peace those who trust in Him. So that got my attention. I asked myself, why perfect peace? Why not just peace? What's the difference? So I looked further into the original Hebrew text, which says, God, you will keep in shalom, shalom. We all know that the Hebrew word shalom means peace. That's perhaps why the translators of the Bible say it's not just peace, you know. Peace repeated twice. So we better put perfect peace in there. I spoke about this literary technique that they used to use, you know, in the Old Testament times. The literary technique here is to ensure the readers, God's people, to understand the meaning of the writer, in this case, God. God says to them, never ever forget that those whose hearts are fixed on the Lord, Jehovah, will have peace in their lives. I'm going to digress a little bit here because I'm going to talk about the number of the occurrences of the word peace in the Bible. How many times does it appear in the entire Bible? Total number is 250 times. Old Testament, 155 times. New Testament, 95 times. Now you may wonder, what's the importance of word frequency here? Generally understood among scholars and the believers, the more frequent a word is and appears in the Bible, the more significant it is. Let's say Gayun Choi sent you an email this morning saying that check your thermostat. Good morning, check your thermostat. Thermostat, thermostat, thermostat. In two lines I repeated 10 times of thermostat, you'd guess, uh-oh, I better check my thermostat. The same way, you don't rely on good morning part, because the thermostat repeated 10 times. In the same way, the more frequent a word appears, the more significance it carries. So I looked up some of the words. Besides some common words such as indefinite article as a, an, or definite article the or the, or all the prepositions like and, of, to, that, all these things, let's set aside. By the way, you know what the one single word appears the most in the Bible? That appears over close to 64,000 times. What do you think the word is? The. That's the definite article. Anyway, let's set aside all these, you know, like indefinite, definite articles and whatnot. If you count the nouns, the most important nouns, which one do you think appears as the number one top? God. I'm very proud of you, but that's not the right answer. Close, close. Nope. 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 Lord. L-O-R-D. Now, I want you to open your Bible. Pew Bible. If you go to chapter 2 of the Genesis, on the first page, it's not hard to find. Open the first page, Genesis chapter 2. You know, some of us don't know the words, phrases such as chapter and verses, right? Chapter, each time you open the Bible, the big numbers is chapter. Small numbers are verses, okay? Now, if you go to chapter 2 and verse 4, second half of verse 4, it says right up below the another account of the creation, right? It says, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, right? Have you noticed that? That's the Lord I'm talking about. All in capital. All in uppercase. And if you look at the footnote F, what does it say? Hebrew, Yahweh, as in other places where Lord is spelled with capital letters. I'm not talking about capital letter L and the rest of them in lower cases. That's different. The Lord Jehovah appears 6,749 times. That's the single word appears the most in the Bible. Isn't it interesting? And you already answered God. That's close, but it's close to 4,000 times. Another quiz. I'm going to give this to you right away if you get the answer. This lifesaver. 66 books in the Bible. There's one book, only one, that does not use the word God at all. You cannot find God in this particular book. Although, it's still plenty of talking about God, what he has done. Now, which book do you think does not have the mention, the word God? Esther. Ooh, who said that? Here we go! You never knew. You didn't know these kind of things, right? Anyway, let's move on. Thank you, Joyce. What about some things that we believe important, such as money? How many times? 113 times. Oh, I like vacation, pleasure. How many times? Only 38 times. What about health? Health is important, isn't it? 22 times. Heavens, someone says heaven or heavens, 622 times. What about family? 205 times. What about worries and anxieties? Combined, 11 times. Here's something I think you may agree with me. What about fear or fears or feared or fearful? All combined, 336 times. So it addresses the issue of fears. Amongst all these nouns and, you know, words, peace appears 250 times. So that gives me the idea that it is very important for us to know and understand what peace is all about. And so is the word is to our daily life. Very important. And by the way, I have not met anyone, single one yet, who does not want peace. Everyone longs for peace. Again, for my curiosity, I checked out how often we have peace in our human history. You know, I put the following question on Google search. The sentence was, how many wars have there been in the world? And it pops out the answer within less than a second. And I got this quote from the wiki.answers.com. And you could do the same thing. It says, of course, it begins with, you know, there's no definite answer to this question because, you know, you cannot agree on what does it mean to have war or wars. However, it says, I quote, estimates suggest that for 362 days of the year, there is a conflict going on somewhere in the world. I said, only 3 days we are free. Maybe it's Christmas. What do you say? Maybe New Year's Eve. or New Year's Day, what you say, or even your own birthday, right? 362 days. Estimates also suggest that there have only been 250 years of peace in over 3,400 years of documented history. I believe that. Some people, it continues, suggest there have only been 26 days of peace. There have been hundreds of wars since the end of the Second World War. You think we humans learn a lesson, right? After such a huge Second World War, still. So much so that Lloyd Corey said, I quote, peace is the brief, glorious moment in history when everybody stands around reloading. Makes sense. We desire not only peace in the world, peace in our nation, peace in our society, but also peace at home, and especially peace in our mind and heart. Who doesn't want it? Now, if all of us want peace so badly in our hearts and minds, why? That's my question. Does it seem like so little people have enjoyed or enjoy it? Perhaps the reason why many people don't have it is because they may look for peace in the wrong places. When was the last time that you were disillusioned with broken promises of peace made by either politicians or bank accounts? I know a retiree. He retired from Lucent Technology as vice president. When he retired, he was given the stock options, millions of dollars. He felt so rich. You know what happened? He lost everything when the company stopped, plummeted. I don't think it recovered ever. Let's not be fooled. True and lasting peace is found only in God. God alone gives such peace that is good both inside of our hearts and outside in the world. What is divine peace? It's the peace God gives to His children, simply put. And this is what God's Word, the Bible, says about divine peace. God is the author and the giver of peace. He establishes peace and He gives His peace to His children, and He's our peace. And Christ is our peace. Did you know that another title for Jesus is the Prince of Peace? The God of peace wants us to have the same peace that He has in our hearts. The peace that God gives to us is a kind of peace that does not rely on only happy occasions, or it doesn't rely on bad circumstances. In fact, it never relies on outside circumstances. It is transcendental. It is that calm of mind and heart that is not shaken by adversity. It is rather strange calm that human words cannot explain, but the person knows it when she or he receives it from God. So how do we get God's peace? That's what we really want to know, right? There is only one way. You cannot simply buy God's peace with money. You get it only by, the Bible says, trusting in Him. Trusting in God is same as putting your heart and mind in His care, in His hands, and in His purpose. Imagine this. Isaiah 26:3, the verbs that used there, the heart of the one who trusts in the Lord is, listen, sustained by God like pottery is in the masterful hands of the potter. God's hands surround and sustain the heart of those who put their trust in Him. Imagine that you want to keep a most precious and delicate jewel in the world, in the most secure place in the world. And let me tell you, your heart is that jewel. And the most secure place in the world is God and His hands. Let's do some reality check, though. What do you trust in? Really? If you pull out the dollar bill, it says, "In God we trust." Really? Do we not rather trust in the green, the color green, in our bank accounts and health and family and the government? Now, if you really want to know what you trust in and who trust in, you can easily find out by yourself by looking at what you can constantly think of or where your mind and heart are set on. Here's what I mean by trusting in the Lord, okay? Trusting in God means that we do not rely on our own understanding of what's going on in our lives. Rather, we believe and we profess that God knows what He is doing. Let me tell you a story of a man, happens to be a Christian, and somehow he was looking down the cliff, and by accident he slipped off, and he was falling, and luckily he was holding. He grabbed something, a branch of a tree on the cliff, for life. He, you know, sighed, he breathed a sigh of relief, but for a couple of seconds, and began to scream for help, "Please help!" At the same time, he did not forget to pray to God. "Lord, please help me." And somehow, he heard a voice coming from heaven. "My son, did you call me?" "Yes, Lord, I need your help. Please get me out of this trouble." God says, "Do you really want me to help you?" "Yes, Lord." And God says, "Let go of the branch." The man thought, "Did I hear, is this truly God's voice?" And God said, "Yes, it is. Let go of the branch. Then I'll help you." And the man thought a couple of seconds, and he began to shout again, "Is anyone out there again?" Most of us, many a time, exactly like that. We say we trust in God, but we rather trust in our own understanding. Trusting in God also means that we set our minds and eyes on Him, not anything and anybody else. Let me tell you a story of Apostle Paul, of the Peter. I love Peter. Once, Jesus says, "I'm going to stay on the land and pray. You guys, 12 disciples of mine, go across the Lake Galilee." They started journey in the boat, and they were in the middle of the boat. It was a dark night, midnight perhaps, and they all of a sudden saw a person walking on the waters in white garment, perhaps. Perfect story for Halloween, right? As you guessed, people in the boat thought that they were seeing a ghost. Did you know that in Galilee among the fishermen, if the superstition going on that if you saw a ghost in the lake, you're doomed. You are going to die. They will take away your life. So these folks like screaming, "Oh!" And Jesus says, "My children, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter comes in there. "If you are truly you are, let me walk toward you on the waters." And Jesus says, "Come on." So Peter coming out of the boat very, you know, carefully, cautiously, first step. Oh, he's floating. You know, he's not sinking. Second step, third step. After a few steps, walking toward Jesus, he looked around the surroundings. Very strong wind going on and waves, you know, striking against his legs. And he felt afraid. And as soon as he did, he began to sink. And Peter said, Lord, help me, I'm sinking. Of course, Jesus came to rescue. The point is this. When the eyes of Peter were fixed on Jesus walking toward him, he was not sinking. But as soon as he looked around, his eyes are off from Jesus, he began to sink. Trusting God means that we set our eyes and minds and hearts on Jesus, not anything, anybody else. The same Peter speaks to us in 1 Peter 5:7, that's the second verse in your bulletin, about the way we handle our daily anxiety. He says, cast away, literally throw out, and do not claim back. Let me tell you, a lot of us, when we pray, Lord, please take care of this. And when we are done with prayer, you know what we do? We take it back and bring it back to Jesus next time. And when your prayer is done, let me take my burden back. That's what we do. And God says, no. Cast away is one-time action. You throw out and you never go back and reclaim. Peter says, cast away your what? Anxiety, folks. The reason is because, he continues, because God cares for you. Now, I hope you can remember this one, what I'm about to say. The original literal translation of the Greek, God cares for you, is this. Your business is mine. That's what it is. That's how much God cares. In other words, God wants us to cast away our anxiety because God says, your business is mine and I will take care of it. As for closing, Horatio Stepford, a businessman in Chicago in the 19th century in America, he sent his wife and three daughters to Europe for vacation. By ship in those days, no planes. While he remained back in the States, intending to join them later. En route, there was a terrible storm and shipwreck, during which their three daughters drowned. Mrs. Stepford made it to safety and wired back to her husband saying, all of our daughters have been lost. Only I have been saved. He took the next vessel. As they came near the place where his daughters drowned, the skipper of the ship pointed to the place where the other ship had gone down. It was there, on the deck of the ship, he wrote these stirring words. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Unbelievable, isn't it? I can say Mr. Stafford's, Horatio's eyes and his heart and mind were fixed on Jesus, not on the tragedy, not on the spot where the ship sank. He still, in the 21st century, declares to us that the Lord knows what he is doing. He shows us how we dwell in God's perfect peace by trusting in the Lord. Let's bow our heads and pray.